Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being here tonight. As always, I look forward to any opportunity to open up God's Word and share what the Lord's put on my heart from His Word. And I just thank you for being here tonight. And if you're visiting, I always say this, but please come back when Pastor's here preaching. I know that you'll be blessed and edified by him. And once again, I just want to say thank you to all of those that had a hand in Vacation Bible School. My heart is full from the week that we had. And though we may have been tired, you know, by Thursday and Friday, I seen some of the workers, their eyes were twitching, you know, what's going on with all the kids and everything. And but you never get tired of a young kid coming up to you and said, hey, I got saved this week. There's a young man by the name of Jace. He sat back here in front of the sound booth. He came up to me early in the week. Hey, I got saved. And then he came in the next day and he built some contraption for it, Brother Andy, to use on stage and all that stuff. And I love it. I love it. It reminds me, I first started coming to Beacon. I remember those early VBSs back in the old building on Center Street. And I remember Mrs. Wooster was my teacher, the fifth and sixth grade. And we learned about Esther and Mordecai and all these types of things. And I remember singing those songs until we were blue in the face. And it's a sweet memory. And to be able to come full circle and work at it, lead the music and singing, I love it. And I'm thankful for what God has allowed me to do, be a part of what's going on here. And even this morning, my heart's full seeing those people get saved again this morning and just all of it. And we're so blessed here, aren't we? And I was thinking about, you know, Brother Ethan LaCroix preached last week and he got us off to a wonderful start, got us charged up, ready to take on hell with a super soaker with Vacation Bible School. And I was thinking, how do you close out something like Vacation Bible School? And I want to preach on a subject tonight. I was been going through this, memorizing scripture on it. And I think one of the greatest things that we can do for our Vacation Bible School students and our church in general is to now pray. We pray before, pray during, and praying after. And if you'll pray for the kids, especially those who have come to know Christ as their Savior, my prayer through the whole week has been, can we have fruit that remains? I'm thrilled and grateful when students get saved, when kids get saved, but there's more work to be done. And so have a part in praying still. I am thankful for any church member. I had people come up to me today and say, hey, I've been praying during the week. I was watching online, and I was praying and asking God to work, and those prayers have been answered. Amen. Amen. But the prayer work still needs to be done. And so tonight, I want you to look again at our text. Back it up to verse number 12, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then we jump into our text. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this. Who better can you model your prayers after? Of course, the Lord Jesus, you can model your prayers after him. But we have a whole New Testament full of prayers from the Apostle Paul. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived, somebody who was used of God in a mighty way. You remember his story back in the book of Acts in chapter number 6. He was there, standing there. He was consenting to the death of Stephen the deacon. He was holding the coats there. The Bible says that this man Saul, he ran and he wreaked havoc on the church. He was somebody that wanted to stamp out the way of the Lord Jesus. He wanted to stomp out Christians. But we know what happens in Acts chapter number 9. The Apostle Saul was going to the road to Damascus, and the bright light shined round about him, and he bows on his knee, and he says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord talks to him, and the next question that Saul asked, what would thou have me to do? Saul has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and his life is completely changed. Listen, aren't you glad tonight that when somebody gets Jesus in their life, when they accept Christ as their Savior, everything changes? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His life got changed. They're on the road to Damascus. He's a new creature. Everything has changed. God has used him in a mighty way. If you remember the account in Acts chapter number 9, what would thou have me to do? Saul says, arise and go to the city, and there it shall be told thee what thou must do. God never said to Saul or Paul that you're going to start all these churches, you're going to write 13, perhaps 14 books of the Bible. He didn't say any of those things. We're reminded that the will of God for our lives is a step-by-step process of obedience. God didn't give him the whole picture, he just gave him the next step. But I'm glad that Paul obeyed the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that he got up. I'm glad that he went to Damascus. I'm glad that he followed the Lord. Because now we have modeled for us throughout the epistles, 13 books of the New Testament, the prayers of Paul. And as we go through some of these, I'm going to have more of a Bible study tonight. I want to teach and preach on this subject, Paul's prayer list. What can we learn from the prayers of the Apostle Paul? There's a lot there. Let's pray together, may we, and we'll jump right in. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the week in which we've experienced souls being saved, church working together, Jesus being lifted up. Even this morning, Lord, more people saved and Jesus lifted up. I pray tonight that you'd help us to gather around your word today. Lord, feed us from your word. You promised in your word that it would not return void. I pray that what's preached tonight and taught would be edifying, that it would be practical, that it would help us immediately. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We thank you for this church. We pray that you continue working through us and in us. Help us to be more like Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. There are several prayers throughout the epistles of Paul. We started in Ephesians with some of them. But aren't you glad we have the opportunity to pray? What an amazing thing. I always say this, but as Christians, we need to get back to the basics. Somebody went up to Coach John Wooden, who coached UCLA through the 70s, won several national championships with their basketball team. They said, Coach, you have an extraordinary team. But the coach said, no, we just have an ordinary team that's really, really good at the basics. And as Christians, praying should be a basic for us. We have access to pray. Prayer has been purchased for us. I'm going to read you a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have an opportunity to go into the presence of God. We've been given access. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand in hope of the glory of God. We have access tonight. We just read it a moment ago in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Listen tonight, if you're a born again believer, you have access. And I know as a Sunday night crowd, we all know that and we all realize, yes, we have access. But it's something that I need to be constantly reminded of. Listen, you have access to God. I've talked about this before. But growing up in a Catholic home, I remember having to go to the priest to talk to the priest to talk to God for me. You don't have to do that. You have the priesthood of the believer. As a believer in Jesus, you have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight. You can go to him. You could tell him anything that needs to be said. You have freedom of speech to talk to God. We have been accessed. It was purchased when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in Matthew 27 that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. We can go in. We can talk to God. Think about the access we have in prayer. This is just a couple of things by way of introduction. The attributes of prayer. What are the gift prayer is for us? The things that we, of all the things, we can come to church, we can soul win, but prayer is truly a gift and a privilege for God's people. It's something that we don't, at least I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself, we don't avail ourselves to the opportunity to pray like we ought to. But think about what goes into a prayer. I want to give you a couple things just by way of introduction, and we'll get into some of what Paul said in his prayers. Think about this, the attributes of prayer, remembering your Savior. When you go to prayer, It sounds pretty elementary, but remember who you're talking to. Sometimes, again, I can't speak for everybody, But I can speak for myself. I rush into the presence of God. God, I need this. Please help me with that. Please do this. Please do that. Please provide for me. But we're reminded in our prayers, and even in the Apostle Paul's prayer, to remember who you're talking to. Remember your Savior. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, when you go and you start to pray, and you remember the attributes of the person that you're talking to, the characteristics of who it is, you're talking to the one that's been here before us, the one that is will be here long after us. We're talking about the author and the finisher, the captain of our salvation. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is almighty. He's alive today. He's our buckler. He's our shield. He's our caretaker. He's our deliverer. That is the person that we get to talk to when we go to prayer. He's the one that created by his word this earth in the beginning, God. And that is the one that we get to talk to. Remember your Savior when you're praying. It sounds basic, but sometimes we rush in. I need this. Remember who you're talking to. I remember being a fifth grader in Awana, and Brother Hatcher was teaching the council time, and this was years and years ago. Man, I'm getting old. But he got up and he taught council time. Here's what you do when you pray. And he put out, some of you can write this down because it was good back then and it's still good today. He said, write this word down, acts. A-C-T-S, all right? Adoration. When you go to pray, remember, adoration, adore, praise, worship the Lord in your prayers, adoration. Oh, but then there's confession. You got to confess your sins when you go to pray. And then there's the T, thanks, thanksgiving. You got to thank the Lord when you go to pray. And then the S, supplication. That was 100 years ago, and I still remember it. I also remember that Brother Hatcher said, somebody give that man an Awana $5 bill. And I straightway spent that on candy. What a great night. But it's a simple lesson, adoration, confession, thanks, supplication. When you start your prayer, start with the character of God. Remembering who he is. You know, when you remember how big our God is, everything else, we sang the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, everything else grows real small when you talk about a big God, when you're praying to a big God. Remember your Savior. Just a couple things by way of introduction. Relinquish your sin. There's the confession. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Keep the way clear. There's nothing between. Prayer is a time to relinquish your sins. Jesus knows them anyway. You might as well tell him about it. Relinquish our sins. Here's another one. Release your sorrow. How many of you have ever had problems before in your life? Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen, the Lord wants to hear your heartache. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, that's why we can come boldly to the throne. That's why he knows everything that we go through. He came as a man, and he knows what we've gone through. He's been tempted at all points, yet as we are. And you can release your care to the Lord Jesus, because he cares for you. And then, in our prayers, rehearse our supplication. Ask, seek, knock. You take those, and that spells out the word ask. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Studying the prayers of Paul tonight gives us insight into why he prayed, what he prayed, and the motives behind his prayer. He prayed without ceasing in a spirit-led, Christ-centered manner. He prayed for others and asked for prayer from others. His prayers are recorded for us in the Word of God. What did one of the greatest Christians of all time pray for? First of all, I want you to consider this tonight. Paul's prayers portrayed thankfulness. Paul's prayers portrayed thankfulness. What was Paul thankful for? Well, first of all, he was thankful for God's people. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, watch this now, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for my God, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You know what Paul was thankful for? He was thankful for God's people. My, that's a good thing to be thankful for. When you get to come together, we were talking about it this morning, you have people that come from all different backgrounds, all different places, all different society, different types of society backgrounds and all these types of things. But what brings us all together is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of you wouldn't care to talk to me, and I wouldn't care to talk to most of you, except for the gospel. And so when we come together, it's a good thing that we have God's people coming together. And Paul says, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the people of God. And by the way, this is a side note. This one's for free. If you're irritated at somebody and you're mad at somebody when you pray for them, it's a lot harder to say things about them when you pray for them. Remember that old song we used to sing? You can talk about me. You can talk about me all that you please. All that you please. You can talk about me all that you please. You can talk about me all that you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Praying for people. Being thankful for God's people. It's hard to criticize. It's hard to talk about other people when you're praying for those people. But Paul was thankful for the people of God. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Here's what he says: always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests, watch this now, with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Thankfulness for spiritual, he gives thankfulness for God's people, but he also gives thankfulness for spiritual attributes in the lives of God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, I'm going to read a lot of verses tonight, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. He's thankful for how people are growing in the Lord. He's thankful for the grace of God in the lives of other people. These are things that Paul is praying about, that he's writing about. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Paul's not only thankful for the people of God, but he's also thankful for them growing in Christ, and he's mentioning it in his prayers. Hey, listen, I'm thankful that when I saw you before, you've grown since then and you're becoming more like the Lord Jesus. Hey, it's a good thing when we're together as the people of God and we're growing together in the Lord. Paul says, I'm thankful for the people of God and the growth in God's people. Paul portrays thankfulness in his prayers. Here's a second thing tonight. Not only does Paul portray thankfulness, but Paul's prayers petitioned for spiritual growth. Hey, listen, you've grown in the Lord, but there's still more growing to do. By the way, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. We like to pray for physical needs, and all of that's good and all of that's well. But if you look through the prayers of Paul in the books of Romans, the books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, if you look through 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you'll notice that most of the prayers of Paul don't cover the physical needs, but they do cover the spiritual needs. And there's nothing against praying for physical needs, because Paul did. But you'll find that the emphasis of his prayers was on the spiritual. Paul's prayers petitioned for spiritual growth. Paul understood the devices of the devil. While there are physical needs, the emphasis in many of Paul's prayers is on spiritual growth. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this in verse number 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is now to come. He places the emphasis on the spiritual. Listen, well, there are physical battles that we face. There are things that we need. We have thorns in the flesh. We have health needs. We have things that we deal with. But Paul says, listen, the enemy, he's wily. He is principalities and these powers that we're really fighting against. So I'm praying for your spiritual growth. If Paul is praying for the spiritual growth of the people in these churches, ought not we to be praying for the spiritual growth of our family, our spouses, our friends, our children? He's praying for spiritual growth in the lives of the people of these churches. Paul prayed for an increase in the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter number 1 Verse number 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints," here's what he says, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here is where he gets to the spiritual needs. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." He wants the people to know Jesus more, know God the Father more. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand." The Bible continues, "in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave unto him head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." You know what a good prayer request that you can pray for somebody else is? That they know Jesus more. I'm not just praying for a better job for that person. I'm not praying that they make more money. I'm not just praying for the right spouse for that person. Again, those things are all good and all well. But when it comes down to it, one of the greatest things that you can pray for somebody else is that they know Jesus more. You think about the pursuit of Paul's life, the reason that he prayed these things. You think about what it says in Philippians in chapter 3, verse number 7. "And what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Here it is, "that I may know him." What a prayer to pray for somebody. What? My wife, I want my husband, I want my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, I want them to know Jesus more. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, and we want them to know Christ and be like Christ. What a prayer request. We got all kinds of things on our prayer list, but what a thing to put on your prayer list, that my family would know Jesus more. Paul prayed that people would be increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul also prayed for love with knowledge and discernment. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 9, the Bible says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Here's what it says, "that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Paul said, "I want you to grow in love and in knowledge and discernment." Here's another thing that we find in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 9 through 11. He says this phrase in verse number 11, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ," and here it is, "unto the glory and praise of God." Here's another thing we could pray for that Paul prayed for, is you pray for the glory of God to be shown. This sticks with me, it resonates with me, because I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. And when I got saved, if you remember back in those days, Wednesday nights, my hand would go up, pray for my mom, pray for my dad, pray for my brothers. I want them to be saved. Initially, it started out as this prayer. I don't want my family, I don't want my mom, I don't want my dad, I don't want my brother. I don't want them to go to hell. And by the way, praying for somebody so they don't go to hell is a good thing to do. I want them to miss out on him. But as the Lord worked in me, my prayer kind of molded in a different way. Not only did I want them to miss out on hell, I also wanted to, my parents and my brother, I wanted them to know how good a God that I have. I wanted them to experience the goodness of God. And so my prayer shifted. Not only did I not want to go, not want them to go to hell, but I wanted them to experience what a good God that I have. But then it shifted even more. It grew and matured. I remember our pastor talking about this. He prayed for his father for many, many years to be saved. And he said his prayers changed when he prayed that my father would be saved for what? For the glory of God. The prayer changed. Not only did I want my family to miss out on hell, of course I do, Not only did I want them to know that I serve a great God, but I wanted them to get saved so people would glorify God together. And some of you remember, my dad got saved. Pastor called him into his office. My dad says it like this: I never thought I'd be called into the principal's office. Center Street, there, 430 on Center Street. He called him in the office, led him to Christ in the office. My dad called me that day, and he said, "Kev, I prayed with the preacher." I said, "What are you talking about?" "I got saved today. I was driving to lunch, and I almost got in a car accident." For the glory of God. You remember, some time later that year, he got baptized, and Pastor and I were able to assist together in baptizing my dad. I remember because I held him under a little longer. That's what you get. I'll never forget, though, afterwards, my dad hugged me, gave me a big old hug in the back, still soaking wet. "Thank you for not giving up on me." And then some of you might remember this. He stood at the front as people greeted him. The line went out the door of people trying to just say, "Hey, we're so glad you know what?" The prayer, God was glorified. We pray so much for our own selves, at least I do. But where's the glory of God in all this? That he might be glorified. Paul prayed for people to know Jesus more. Paul prayed for the glory of God, that people would increase in love and knowledge and discernment. Paul prayed for an increase in the knowledge of God's will and for strength. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9, it kind of says the same thing as we just read. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." Paul is just praying. He's pointing people to the Lord Jesus. Hey, when you pray, don't worry so much about what you need. Don't worry about so much about the supplication, but remember who you're talking to. And ask God, "Help me, help my family to increase in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of God's will. We need strength in this world. We don't need any more casualties. We don't need to faint. We need to trust God. We need his strength. We need patience. We need long-suffering." And this is what Paul is praying for. Listen, this world is a wicked world. There's so many pitfalls out there. And you need to get close to God. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. "Cleanse ye hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Hey, get close to God. Know more about him. The more you know about him, the more you understand his will. Paul's praying, "I want you to grow in all spiritual understanding and wisdom with patience and long-suffering." This man knows how to pray. So much we can learn from his prayer requests. This is the prayer list of the Apostle Paul. Paul's prayers are so different from the prayers of today. People pray for better jobs, for health, for physical blessings. And there's nothing wrong with praying for those things at all. Even Paul prayed for those physical needs. But the emphasis of Paul's prayers was on knowing God and making God known. The overarching theme of Paul's prayers was not circumstances, it was Christ-likeness. There's a third thing in Paul's prayer list. Paul's prayers pleaded for unity. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul understood that we needed unity, unity of purpose for the glory of God. Romans chapter 15, verse number 5 says this: "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Unity of purpose, coming together to glorify God. He prayed for the understanding of God's plan, that all the earth may know. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18 through 20, the Bible says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me," here's what he says, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You know what Paul's praying for? Give me a door of utterance to speak the gospel to somebody. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. Paul understood the plan of God. Go and preach the gospel. And so Paul was praying, for utterance, for an open door to speak the gospel. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then it goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The goal tonight, the plan rather tonight, was to whet your appetite to study more about the prayers of Paul. There are so many more that we could go through tonight. But I hope I gave you the overarching theme. He prayed for the spiritual needs. He prayed with thankfulness. He prayed with faith. We need to mold our prayers more after, I submit, after the way that Paul does it. The prayers of Paul give insight to what is important in our prayer lives. We pray for so many different things. But take some time this week and look at what Paul prayed for and how he prayed. And may the Lord help us to be more effective prayers. The prayers of Paul were Christ-centered. Paul's prayers were intercessory in nature. That we need to get back to intercessory prayer, don't we? Praying for the lost to be saved, praying that God would work, praying that God would do something, praying on behalf of somebody else. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. Sometimes my prayers are so self-centered. By the time I get done praying for myself, it's time to go somewhere else. Paul's prayers were intercessory. He very rarely prayed for himself. Paul's prayers showed thankfulness and dependence upon God. I'll leave you with this verse, and we'll be done tonight. I know it's a little bit early, but that's okay. Just remember what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the work that we did last week, there was a lot of work, but now the work is the prayer work and continuing in prayer. And let us be, as a church, a people of prayer. And God's people said, let's pray together. May we, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, it's easy to preach about praying more and having a better prayer life, but Lord, help us to live it. Help us to do your will. Help us to seek your face. Lord, help us to pray for the spiritual needs as much as the physical, if not more. Help us to pray in thankfulness and praise, to confess our sin. Help us to pray specifically. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Thank you for the emphasis in the Word of God. Oh, Lord, draw us to yourself tonight, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name.